Welcome to the iPhone Life podcast. I'm Donna Schill, editor-in-chief at iPhone Life.
I'm David Averbach, CEO and publisher.
Today, David and I are going to be going over all of our favorite products of 2025. We wanted to time it. It's the buyer's guide time of year, also Black Friday and Cyber Week. So we're going to give you a lot of product recommendations to deck out your iPhone, iPad, Mac, and Apple Watch. And, you know, we'll give you our best guess of pricing on everything, but you'll have to check sites because right now everything is on sale.
Yeah, our goal really here is to give you the best products. Most of them are on sale, but we're not necessarily highlighting the best sales. We're highlighting the best products, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We got a lot to go over today and we're really excited.
Some of them will be ones we've been using for years. Others will be just new ones we've discovered. So we're excited to get into it. First, I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our Tip of the Day newsletter. At iPhone Life, we have a tip of the day that we send out every single day that teaches you something cool you can do with your iPhone. It takes just 1 minute to read. It has really clear screenshots and step-by-step instructions, so you can just skim through and master it in under a minute. You can go and sign up at iPhoneLife.com/dailytip and join over 600,000 people who enjoy reading it every morning.
We just crossed 600,000, so it's a milestone.
Yeah, and we've been doing it for how many years now?
Since 2015, 10 years.
And we have a fun tip today. I've been trying to highlight iOS 26 tips in the podcast because it's always fun to learn the new stuff. So this one, not only do I want to teach you how to do it, but I also wanted to talk to you, David, about whether you like it or not.
Okay, I'm ready.
And that's how to use Hold Assist on your iPhone. This is a feature that Apple came out with that it allows you to... when you're on hold and that music starts playing, it'll actually send a prompt to your phone app asking if you want to basically put them on hold. you're not putting me on hold, I'm putting you on hold. And then it'll start ringing when someone picks up, when the representative picks up. So first I'll tell you how to use it and then we'll get into kind of the ins and outs of how well it actually works. So first you need to enable it. You'll go to Settings app, then navigate to the Phone app. A really quick way to get where you want in Settings is just to swipe down from the main screen and type in what you're looking for. So just type in Phone. From there, you're going to toggle on Hold Assist Detection. And that means when they detect that elevator music that we all hate, it'll prompt you to go to Hold
Assist. It's on by default as well, right? So most people probably have it on.
Yes, I know, because I don't think I ever went and enabled this.
I think the default is for it to be on, but double check.
So now when you're on the call, it should send a prompt to your phone, like I said. If it doesn't, because I haven't found that it always does, you hit that more icon, which is the three dots on your main phone screen. And from there, you'll have a little drop-down menu and Hold Assist will be there with, it's an orange icon with a phone thing there. So you can tap that. That lets you manually turn it on and off. I have been using this to varying degrees of success.
Okay.
And so I wanted to ask you, so the thing that, in overall, I think it's a great feature. I really hate elevator music, especially when you're on hold for an hour. It can be so enraging.
Yeah.
But most of these machines do have an intermittent voice that comes on saying something, and it can be a false alarm that there's a representative there. So it can start ringing when it's, your call is important to us voice. So I have found though that I think they've improved it where, you'll get text on your screen that'll be all our agents are busy or your call is important to us, but it doesn't ring. So I'll just keep an eye on it. And then when I actually see someone being hi, it's Angela, then I use it. But it isn't completely hands off. I completely forget about the call and wait for a ring.
Yeah.
I kind of have to be monitoring it. What about, have you used this?
I've used it a little. I will say I have a little bit of nervous energy around it. Usually when I'm on hold, it's something that I really need to get taken care of.
Yeah.
I used it once and the person was really confused by the time I came back on the call. I think because it's a new feature, they're not used to it. So I'm always worried they're going to hang up on me after waiting on hold for all that time.
I have the same thing where I think I was kind of obsessively monitoring my phone the whole time. And I'm is this better than just listening to the damn music?
Yeah, exactly. Usually I just put on speaker and put it down. I definitely am excited about the feature. It's a great feature. There's times in the past where I've been on hold for hours where I definitely would use it.
Yeah.
But the problem is even if you're on hold especially if you're on hold for hours, you're really not going to want to miss it when they get on the call. And I just will feel nervous of like, oh no, they're going to get on the call, hear a robot voice saying, please hold while I get the person, and be like, screw this.
It might be one of those like culture shift things where once we get more used to it,
yeah,
it'll be fine because there's so many like years of pent up frustration. But if I just sort of more casually used it, and because I wasn't obsessively monitoring, I didn't care so much if I missed it and could always call back, then maybe it'd be a different story.
Can I tell you a feature I found completely unhelpful though?
Yes.
Similar feature.
Call screening?
Yes.
I turned it off.
There's this whole like idea that like somehow it's going to prevent spam calls, but it doesn't. All I get is like a phone call, which I used to like not, right? Like it used to be like if it's likely spam, I would just send it away. Now the like quote unquote like phone call, they leave a message. So it's like just randomly, it's always like some like personal loan they're offering me or something. It doesn't work at all.
Incogni, which disclaimer, is one of our sponsors, and it's a data removal service. I feel like ever since I signed up with Incogni, I'm actually not getting those calls.
Really?
But what I don't like about call screening is that it's screening. Like, I'm trying to buy a house right now, so I'm getting calls from unknown numbers that I need to receive.
And they get, similarly, there's like a learning curve for society where people get really confused.
Yeah, but it's like filtering them out, or it's sending them straight to voicemail when I want it to ring.
Okay.
So I think either way, with certain features, they kind of take the control away from you. And I want to know all the calls that are coming in.
I have this theory, and I don't know if it's true, but what seems to happen to me is if I ever answer a spam call, like if I don't know the number and I'm expecting a call, like you're saying, I'll answer it. And then I'll get like 100 more of similar calls. Like they detect that I've answered it. But my theory is because I have call screening on, it like registers as an answer to their system and then like doubles down on how many times it calls me.
Oh, annoying.
So I feel like I'm just all day getting loan calls now.
So can you turn it off? Have you turned it off?
I should turn it off as we're talking this through. I have not because I keep wanting both of these features I want to be a thing.
Like
they're both great features that just somehow aren't quite functional enough yet. But so I haven't turned it off. I've been stubborn, but like it's been rough.
So you can turn it off under the same section in settings under the phone app. And we would love to hear from our listeners. Have you been using Hold Assist or call screening? These are new iOS 26 features on your iPhone. Email us at podcast@iPhoneLife.com. We always love hearing from you.
Yes.
Next up, I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our premium educational platform called iPhone Life Insider. This is where we teach all of our live online educational courses. We teach 10 a year. There's multiple live sessions running every single week. We just wrapped up our iOS 26 course and are getting ready to teach our iPhone Fundamentals course. We're going to be teaching an Apple Watch Health Focused course in January. You also get access to all of our core guides on the major operating systems from iOS 26 to watchOS 26. These are downloadable premium PDFs with also videos, walkthroughs, and roundups and breakdowns of all the new features. And you get the premium version of this podcast with extra content from me and David and also no ads. And let's see, what else? You get a video version of the daily tip. So many of you are on our free daily tip newsletter. You get a video version that walks you through. It's just a minute or two video, and it's really nice to have that visual. And so you get an access to over 3,500 of our tips, and we send them to you every morning. And you also get access to our premium Facebook page, where you can go meet with the community and also ask your questions, and our staff is monitoring and answers all of your tech-related questions. So you can sign up and get 30% off at iPhoneLife.com/podcast discount. Make sure to check off the senior discount if you're 60 or over. Also, if you're a service personnel, veteran, or teacher or student, you can get up to 40% off. So that's iPhoneLife.com/podcast discount. We've been getting a lot of insider questions lately about the new iPad OS 26 multitasking. Is this a feature you've been using?
It is not. I had such a high degree of skepticism that it would work that I haven't even messed with it yet. But I've seen the comments. That's my sigh is Apple keeps promising us they're going to solve it.
Yeah. Cullen, who is one of our most senior instructors, he shared this with me where basically this was a feature that actually a lot of our most enthusiastic Apple enthusiasts were hoping was going to be great. And it brings your iPad functionality closer to a Mac. There's now, you can like have as many windows open as you want. You can resize them. There's menu bars on all of the apps now, similar to what you see on the Mac. I played with it a little bit and when I got confused, I thought it was just because like I hadn't spent enough time with it. I kind of blamed it on myself. But after talking to Cullen about it, it sounds like I am not alone in finding it confusing. Cullen spent a lot of time with it and found it frustrating too. So I wanted to bring it up that we've been hearing a lot of frustration about it, see what all of you think, and also reassure you that there still is a way to get the multitasking features you were used to in the past, because some of what we're hearing is a lot of people are like, I finally figured out how to use Apple's old multitasking system, which also wasn't that intuitive, and now I can't do it the same way. So it's true, the multitasking menu is not in the same place it used to be. Now, because there's menu bars at the top of apps, where there's usually that like close, minimize, or go full screen, the red, yellow, green. If you long press there, because that's now on the apps, if you long press there, you'll get the option to open your multitasking menu to get to split screen, slide over, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought I would share that with you if you're having a hard time with a new iPad multitasking. Also, we're going to be putting together our iPad OS 26 guide soon and are going to really be digging into how to use this. So we'd also love to hear from those of you who are liking it and what you could use help with. podcast@iphonelife.com.
I feel like my deep frustration is that it's unintuitive. And yeah. The thing that's so frustrating is that this is a solved problem. Mac multitasking, we don't even call it multitasking because it's just how you use a freaking computer, is intuitive. We've all done it since the 70s, the 80s, whatever. Why is it this hard? Why is Apple being so stubborn about it, trying to introduce all these weird limited versions of multitasking that are so unintuitive and so hard to use? Just take the multitasking from the Mac and bring it to the iPad.
And just have it be like a touchscreen Mac.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I feel like I thought I was going to be excited about this. I think I hyped it on the podcast of being like, yay, they're doing Windows. But it is just one of those weird things where it's like, either go all the way or don't do it at all, I think.
Every year they make it sound like this time they've solved it. And they haven't.
Yeah. But tell us that's our opinion.
This is true. So maybe you guys are loving it. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Okay, we had a few of you write in, and I was tickled to hear that I'm not alone in not being very happy with the iPhone Air. So I thought I would read some of your responses. For those of you just tuning into this episode, in the past few episodes, I've talked a lot about weighing whether to try out the new iPhone Air. I was intrigued by the slim form factor. I kind of liked the idea of like the novelty of something different, and I quickly regretted that and returned it for my iPhone 17 Pro Max, which I have been much, much happier with. So we got some comments from listeners. I kind of gave the recommendation after returning it, saying, don't make my mistake, don't get the iPhone Air. Jerry Thomas writes in, too late, Donna. I also purchased the iPhone 17 Air after trading in my 16 Pro Max. Big mistake. I had a 16 Pro Max, and I talked about how it felt like a big downgrade, which when you're getting the latest and greatest, that's not what you want to feel. Now I'm thinking of trading it in for the iPhone 17 Pro Max at another telecom. Battery life, speaker loudness, and just a general sense of lesser performance are my complaints about the phone, so I can't wait to get rid of it. For me, it was battery life and the camera felt a lot more limited, but these are great points too. Speaker loudness. And I agree. It just felt like much more lightweight in a bad way. Robert G wrote in, got it, used it, kept it about 10 days. Battery life sucked. I felt I was charging it too often, 2 to 3 times a day, and it was new. with degradation over time, ugh. And I hadn't gotten to use the camera much at that point. To me, the battery was the deal breaker, returned it, and got the 17 Pro much better.
I feel like we were talking about this in preparation for the show. And the problem is that the iPhone Air is just such a trap for our listeners in particular, right? Because we're all enthusiasts here, right? Like, you're not listening to a podcast about iPhones unless you love Apple products. And it's the latest and greatest thing. So it's so tempting. But Apple did a thing where they introduced the latest and greatest, but it's actually not the best, right? Like, it's the newest, it has the coolest technology, but it actually is not as good as the Pro. And so it was so tempting for all of us to get it. It is cool in theory, but it just had too many limitations.
It does. I do feel the need. I wanted to read out this one message from Hank P., who has a different take.
Okay.
I love the iPhone Air. It is lightweight, which is something I wanted, and I did not want to spend the extra money for the additional cameras. I was using the 15 Pro Max and found I did not like the size, and it was really more phone than I needed. I've had no problem with the battery life, and the Air fits into my pants pocket perfectly. Perfect phone for the casual user that uses the iPhone for web surfing and email.
There you go.
Which I think, yeah, like that, for all the things that we were talking about, it doesn't cut it, but if you do really just use your phone a lot more lightly, you might as well save the money.
So when I said it's a phone for nobody, I meant it's a phone for Hank.
Sorry, Hank. Hope you don't mind us teasing
you. No, Hank, you're making excellent points because exactly that use case is what it's for. If you don't care about the camera, you want to save a little bit of money, you value the thinness over battery life, then absolutely. It's just that is a small subset of people, and I'm not one of them. I want the camera and I want the battery life. Those are like two of the most important features to me.
And it's interesting hearing from Hank that having the 15 Pro Max, the phone felt too big, because that was a fear of mine the first time I got a Mac-sized phone. And I, like, it doesn't feel big to me now. So for me, they're never really, I think it was like maybe the first week. I felt a little cumbersome, but I got used to it
really quickly. You get used to it real quick, and then you never go back. It's once you get used to the big screen, going back to the smaller phone feels like it's like a child's phone.
Yeah, totally. Well, we are ready now to get into the buyer's guide. Let's do it.
Okay, so I want to say the disclaimer one more time, which is that we're recording this prior to Black Friday, which means some of the deals are available, but not all of them. And our goal here is to tell you about our favorite products, not the best deals. So that means a few things. First of all, sometimes we'll tell you prices and there might be better deals elsewhere for that product. Second of all, sometimes there are substitutes that are equally good that might be even more on sale that you might want to consider. So it's a tough episode to record. Again, we decided to tell you about our favorite products as opposed to cover the best deals because that's tough to do. So, and also, you know, has limited value as well. So that's my disclaimer here. Make sure when we tell you about the products that you shop around a little bit, you check the prices because there might be a better deal that we missed.
Also, we have all of our usual regular categories, but this is not as much of a systematic buyer's guide as we usually do. It's more just David and I compiling our personal favorites.
Yeah, and we're going to go pretty rapid fire here. So stay tuned. And because we're going rapid fire, go to iPhoneLife.com/podcast, view the show notes. We'll have links to all the products there so you don't feel like, oh my God, I missed it. And you're like trying to take notes as we talk.
Yeah, and we'll have some extra product listings here that we might not get to talk about today too.
For sure.
All right, so first, let's talk about the Mac.
Yeah, I'll go first because I think before we get into some of the accessories, this is an excellent time to buy a Mac. A lot of times Apple does not discount products, but I've noticed in recent years they have discounted Macs, especially MacBook Airs. So I've bought both of my kids' computers during Black Fridays. You can get especially good deals if you want a previous generation. So if you say are willing to get an M1 and M2, for most of you, even for if you're buying it for family members who are less power users, I think the M4 that just came out is worth it. I don't tend to be a big fan of buying past generations of computers just because you keep them for so long that you kind of want to extend the life of it by having the most recent generation. So the MacBook Air M4, which would be by far my most recommended laptop. It's sort of the Apple computer for almost everybody, in my opinion.
Unlike the iPhone Air.
Unlike, yeah. Yeah, it's the opposite of the iPhone Air. Is on sale on Amazon right now for $749 from $999. And of course, there's some customizations in there. But yeah, that's pretty decent for Apple. They rarely do discounts. That's a pretty good discount. I love that computer. It's a great computer for most people, unless you're going to, like me, and you use it all day, every day for work, and then you should consider the MacBook Pro. But for most people,
attest to that. That is my computer.
Okay.
I have, it might be the M3, because I've had it for a minute now, but I have the 15-inch, it's the M3 MacBook Air. The 15-inch, I highly recommend, if you're really going for lightweight, which like some of the older MacBook Airs were just almost paper thin, that this might not be for you. But for me, I do like having the larger display. That it feels way better to me than a 13-inch one. Starting with the M3, Apple really improved the webcam, which is more and more important for video calls for most of us. It went from 720p to 1080p. That's made a really big difference. It's super fast. The battery life is amazing. I only need to charge it like once a day or so, and I'm using it all day. I think it's a great computer.
Yeah, the MacBook. So I was quoting you the price on the 13-inch, which is, if you're a casual user, is great. Everyone in my family but me has the 13-inch and loves it. For the 15-inch, which if you're going to use your computer every day is worth it, is $949 on Amazon and on sale from $1,199. So also on sale. I'm looking at Amazon just because it tends to – they have good deals and they started Black Friday already. Best Buy very frequently does Apple product sales during Black Friday. So make sure you check Best Buy as well, and of course everywhere else. But in my experience, Best Buy for Apple products and Amazon.
I also want to throw in a recommendation to get a monitor. It's really nice with a laptop to go sit down at your desk and be able to plug into a larger display, because there's some work that's just so much better that way. We've been having really good experience with different LG monitors. There are some like lower end ones. The ones that David and I have are a little higher end, 4K. Yeah. 4K, I want to say.
I think it's even 8K.
8K maybe. Apple, so nice. I love it.
Yeah. So the monitors we have, we bought a while ago, which is a good point, right? Like you can keep them for a very long time, even longer than a computer. It used to be the one that Apple partnered with LG for. Apple now makes their own monitors. I want to say it's the Apple Studio. If I were to buy one today, that's what I would buy. I don't know that it's on sale. But like Donna's saying, it's the best of all worlds. If you have a desk at home where you have a big monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse, and then you dock your laptop, because then you can move, you can go to a coffee shop, whatever, have a laptop, but when you're at home, it functionally feels like you have a desktop computer.
Yeah, it's the best. So I've got a couple other Mac products. I am traveling around a lot. We do a hybrid working from home, sometimes being out and about. So I wanted something really nice to transport my MacBook Air with that would protect it, but also look classy. And I discovered this company called Woolnut. It's Woolnut. And
clever.
They have really, really nice premium leather products. So I found a Folio for my laptop. It's black leather with this kind of silver zipper up the side. They have a few different color options that I think they work really well, gender neutral. They also had a leather cord organizer that I got as well that I love. I'll mention too, in our iPhone essentials, they had some really great iPhone cases. I got the like premium leather green iPhone case, and it's kind of like a winter pine green. That was really nice. I feel like the price point's pretty good too. It's $200 for the leather folio for my 15. It's a lot of leather for the 15-inch MacBook Air, and I think it was around $50 for the iPhone case. And I think with Black Friday, they'll be having some deals too.
Yeah, and definitely further if you want to go the cheaper route, they have a lot of just very cheap kind cases for Mac that you can throw them in, both hard shells to protect it, which I bought for my kids, and kind of, what do you call them, wrappers, sleeves to put it in while traveling. So nice. Both good options. Very, you can really affordable on Amazon.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention a portable light. For a while now, I've been like, I do have a window by my office, but in general, I just think I'm on video calls all the time, and a lot of times the lighting just kind of sucks and I don't look my best. So I wanted to get a light that you can just, it actually props up on the top of your MacBook and you can bring it with you anywhere. I found one from Logitech, and it's called the Logitech Litra Glow. It's an LED light. It has a button where you can adjust the warmth of the lighting. So depending on if you're somewhere with natural light or not, you might want a cooler or a warmer tone. You can easily adjust the brightness of it too on the back. It's $60, but again, with Black Friday will be a good time to get it at a greater discount. And I just like this option because you can get ring lights if you're more serious about this, like ones that stand up and take some room in an office or in a studio. But for everyday users where you just want to look a little better on the calls, Zoom calls you're doing, this is a nice one.
And, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So let's get into our next category. We've got iPhone essentials.
Yes.
So every year we look at all the things that you need with your iPhone. You want a good case, you want a good screen protector, cables, cable managers, all that type of thing. I already mentioned Walnut. They've got a leather iPhone 17 Pro case in green that I really like. The links to all of this, again, will be at iphonelife.com/podcast. Nomad is one of our favorite companies here. They've, you know, send us products to test every year, and they're really, really high quality. Also, a lot of them are premium leather, but they also have just some more like more sport lines that I've been really enjoying. They've got the modern case for the 17 Pro. This one's in a very bold green.
I was surprised by your boldness.
The green actually isn't my favorite, but the case itself I like. Most of their cases are not wild colors. They're more just neutrals. But the modern case, it's nice because it's like you can use it. Like the leather, you might want to not bring on all of your most sporty adventures.
I'm a big fan of the leather, and people have different opinions on distressed leather, but I'm okay with it. And what I mean by that is the back gets a little beat up, but it's a look, it's a vibe, and I don't mind that. So I mean I've used
the
their patina, cases for years.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And they advertise that too, which is I think maybe why we're rolling our eyes a little bit.
Leather,
they're like, don't worry, it's supposed to get scratched. You're like, okay.
But it is like, you know, there are those more distressed leather couches, like I feel like it is a thing.
Yeah,
and
for
when
sure.
You see them, it just makes it look kind of cool and vintage.
Yeah. And so I like the leather in general. In most cases are just kind of candy shell plastic, and so having a nice leather option, I think, classes up your phone a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. My last case that I wanted to throw out is OtterBox. OtterBox is such a, I mean, I was about to say household name. I think it's a household name, but we've been doing this for so long that
it's hard
know if
to get out of our
bubble.
Own world. Yeah.
But their Symmetry Series case, I think, is kind of best of both worlds. OtterBox is known for really heavy duty protective cases. And if you have kids, for instance, some of their like iPhone and iPad cases are just ridiculously rugged and great for that. But if you want something that's more everyday and slim, but has kind of a step above the protective qualities that you'd find in other cases, the Symmetry Series is great. I like the clear case because then you can see your phone through. Although OtterBox is great about having tons of fun patterns, and they do seasonal stuff too. So if you want something more fun, you can do that too.
I've been enjoying, I'm actually just spot checking this. They maybe didn't make it. Oh no. I don't think they made it for the 17. Dang. I have the OtterBox Statement Series, which
that's
I
nice.
Like. It has a faux leather, which is, doesn't have that patina look. It doesn't get scratched up. So
I like
I've been happy
two-tone.
With it. Yeah. I like the two-tone. It looks kind of stylish. I'm now doing this on the fly, but I don't see it for the 17. So maybe they discontinued it. If you have the 16, get it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they made it and I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I was looking. They had this like green daisy case I loved for my 16. I couldn't find it for the 17.
Sad.
So I just decided to talk about the clear one instead. But they kind of do like limited runs of certain styles.
But in general, they're a great brand to check. Protective, and they have some slimmer lines as well. Another brand that tends to have good cases that I recommend is Speck. In general, Nomad, OtterBox, and Speck tend to be the three brands I'll frequent. Speck has a good line, especially for the clear cases. Really, really good clear case. So, if you are getting a case, I strongly recommend you get a MagSafe compatible case. Surprisingly, a lot of cases are not MagSafe compatible. So MagSafe, just to back up in case I'm using jargon here, on the back of your iPhone, there's a built-in magnetic charger. And so if you have a MagSafe compatible case, you can use MagSafe products. If you do not, you have to take your case off to use MagSafe products, which is just annoying. So I recommend getting MagSafe compatible case, unless, of course, you don't have any MagSafe compatible products.
Yeah, if it doesn't have a MagSafe, it's a deal breaker for me at
me
this
too.
Point.
Me too. Which is annoying because I like the clear cases, especially around the logo. And you kind of, the MagSafe compatible cases, you'll see the ring around them a lot of times, which it doesn't aesthetically look great to me, but is worth it.
Okay, cool. Is that all your iPhone essentials?
No, I've got a few more just to rapid fire here. I pretty much, this might just be a family of teenagers thing, but I buy charging cables and adapters every single Black Friday just to have them. I'm so sick of losing them all the time. I like to have way more on hand than I could possibly need.
It's a good hack. I should do that.
Because they're just easy to lose, especially teenagers like to like bring them to their friend's house because their phone's dying and leave them there. And they all just disappear, or they'll bring them to the car and they'll leave them there. So they're very cheap, affordable, especially Black Friday. I'm a big fan of Anker. There's a Anchor million solid. Cases out, or there's a million cables out there, but Anker just has a strong reputation for both being very budget friendly, but still solidly made. Also for the adapters, the little blocks, there's a new technology, semi-new now, it's been a couple of years, it's GaN, GaN, and it allows you to have much smaller form factors, but still charge. So, for example, for my MacBook Pro, it charges at 140 watt, which is my MacBook Pro comes with a giant block to charge with. But on Anker, you can get a much smaller adapter that works. But the other point there, this is where every year I get on my pedestal and talk about watts. Okay. So
The annual watts talk.
Sit down, get ready, get your popcorn. Different devices charge at different watts. In general, the bigger the device, the more watts is needed. So your iPhone charges at 8 watt, but it rapid charges at 15 watt. Your laptop, or your iPad rather, charges, I believe, at 45 watt. Your MacBook Air charges at 60 watt, and your MacBook Pro charges at 140. You don't have to memorize that, but you do when you're buying an adapter, you do want to know what level of watts you're going to need. Because what a lot of people do is they'll use an iPhone charger and they'll try to charge their computer. And if you try to charge a 140 watt computer with an 8 or 15 watt iPhone charger, it's going to not work very well. It'll take, I don't know, 15, 20 hours. The problem is not that you're going to break your device. The problem is it'll take forever to charge. So I recommend buying one, especially for people who travel a lot, that has compatibility up to whatever your computer is, because then you can charge everything with it. So I have an adapter that charges up to 140 watt, and it has three different outlets in it. So when I travel, it's perfect. I can charge my computer, my iPhone, and my Apple Watch all with one adapter, and with the new GaN form factors, it's not actually very big.
Nice.
Okay. Was that clear?
Yes. I feel like you definitely, even though you've explained it to me before, I always like need the reminder of how that all works.
Yeah. I also recommend just buying a few iPhone ones and knowing that they're for iPhone. So the 15 watt, they're like less than $10 now. Have a bunch of those on hand and then have a few that are charged up to higher watts for your computer and iPad.
Okay, cool. Let's go move on to smart home.
Yeah, this is okay, one, but can I rapid fire a few more?
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
I added a bunch here right at the end.
No, do it.
Okay, so in my opinion, everybody needs a dock. Full stop. So everybody needs a dock in their room because cables are really annoying to deal with and they get everywhere, especially if you're like me and you have every Apple device under the sun. So I really recommend having a dock that's a 3-in-1 if you are like me and you have AirPods and an Apple Watch. So the 3-in-1 means you can dock your AirPods, your Apple Watch, and your iPhone all in one place using MagSafe. We both love the Belkin, right? You have the Belkin.
I have the Belkin. Nomad also has a nice one now that my husband's using, and OtterBox has ones too. But the Belkin is my favorite. It looks like the most elegant.
Yeah,
I like the 3-in-1 one. There's a 2-in-1 as well, but the 3-in-1 lets me charge my Apple Watch and then my AirPods below.
And they actually, Belkin has 2 3-in-1s, but you and I love what's sort of the original one. That has it has a nice like stainless steel look to it, which is why it looks more elegant. It's on sale right now from $119 to $77. So still expensive. It's a good deal. There's really cheap ones now. There's a bunch of them. So it depends how much you like something nice, but it's in your bedroom, so it's kind of nice to have it look nice. And of course, if you don't have an Apple Watch, you can get 2-in-1s or whatever.
It makes it really easy to use the like bedside clock mode of your iPhone, like turning it horizontal at night, which I enjoy also.
I stopped using that. I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't even really tell you why. I just don't like it.
I like being able to tell what time it is when I wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, I have a clock. Oh,
okay.
That's why. Yeah.
I don't.
And my last one here is the Apple Smart Wallet. I have not used a wallet in probably 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
You just use the smart wallet.
And it's getting easier and easier. I actually most of the time don't even have a smart wallet on. Because now you can use Apple Pay is pretty ubiquitous.
So the nice thing about the smart wallet, in general, I don't like wallet cases because it interferes with MagSafe.
Mm-hmm.
But the smart wallet, you just can like attach it and detach it really easily.
It works with MagSafe. And there's a bunch of wallets out there that work with MagSafe. But what I like it is that it's Find My compatible. So what that means is because MagSafe isn't foolproof and sometimes my wallet will just pop off. Which is a good argument to not use it, I guess. But
that's my worry.
If it pops off, it will tell you where it got disconnected so you can go back and find it.
Okay.
Does
it tell you – is there like situations where it won't tell you or has it always worked?
It has – it doesn't. Mine is a little bit older because I have the leather one and they stopped making it and so I'm kind of attached to it. But the new ones, what they should do and they might do now – I don't think so, though. It's actually, like you're saying, have a battery, like almost like an AirTag in it so that you can find it as it moves. I don't believe they do that. That would be cool.
Okay.
No. But yeah, if you're somebody, the major downside is it doesn't hold cash. So I literally never have cash.
Which, like, I rarely have cash anymore anyway because most places take Apple Pay.
Exactly. It is annoying for the times you need it, but it's worth it to not have to carry a wallet for me.
Yeah, that does sound really
What nice. I do is I just have a stack. I shouldn't tell the world this. I have a stack of cash in my car. 'Cause 90% of the time, if I need cash, I'm near my car.
But you have a Tesla that like auto locks anyway, so you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I have security cameras. Don't go near my car.
Buyer's guide. Are you going to put Tesla on the buyer's guide?
No. I don't think they have Black Friday deals. It is an iPhone-related product
because you can use your iPhone to unlock it.
This is true.
Have it come pick you up.
I do love my car.
Yeah. Okay. Best smart home.
Yes.
So let's start with some of the staples more. Like David and I both have set up smart home products years ago, and so we're just kind of adding on to it. So I wanted to include some of the most important basics. Like I would usually say getting smart lights is a great kind of entryway into the smart home world, and that is somewhat easy to set up and you'll like notice and love it every single day. Philips Hue has a nice starter pack with some bulbs, but my favorite actually right now is Nano Leaf.
I saw that. I was surprised. And I'm so loyal to Philips Hue.
Yeah. So the nice thing about, I mean, Philips Hue is great, but the nice thing about Nano Leaf, they're more known for their like wall installation lights that are more cool and funky looking.
Which I have and love and also deserve to be on this list.
Yes, they do. But they also just have standalone bulbs and you can adjust the color and tone of them same as you can with Philips Hue, but they're just more plug and play. Like you literally just screw them into your lamp or whatever, and you don't even have to. They do have an app, but you don't have to use it. You can easily connect it to their HomeKit compatible, so you can connect it to Apple's Home app really easily, add them to a scene. And so we've used mostly Nano Leaf to set up different lighting scenes in our house. Like we have like a movie time that turns all the lights purple, and then cozy home, which means that they all kind of turn into this like orangey glow. That's really nice. And yeah, I found them to be like the least headache.
Okay.
Which I like.
Yeah.
But Philips Hue is, I have a blend of both of those and they okay. both are HomeKit compatible. Both great.
Yeah. I love Philips Hue, but yeah, I've heard great things on Annaleaf.
The other one I wanted to mention, I think unless you have a really complicated heating and cooling system where you have different zones and all that, I think outside of that situation, everyone should have the Ecobee.
I love the Ecobee.
Ecobee is the Apple HomeKit version of the Google Nest. Google Nest is great for more Android-loving people, but Ecobee you can set up with your smart home. They have some stats on their website, which, you know, it's their own research, but like showing you how much you'll save on your energy bill per mm-hmm. year if you use Ecobee. I haven't really dug into that carefully, but I do know that they change the temperature really based on the needs in your home. And so it's not just unnecessarily heating and cooling. Mm-hmm. They also have sensors you can place around the home. So you can kind of choose which rooms are most important to you to keep at certain temperatures. And yeah, you've been using the Ecobee for years too,
I've right? used it for years. You and I think both are a little bit skeptical of the you'll save a lot of money claim.
Yeah.
But the sensors to me are a really big deal and maybe underemphasized. I have an older home, like actually very old. It was built in like 1860. And so I have a really
maybe
hard
like
time.
The oldest home in town.
I have a really hard time heating and cooling because it varies wildly. And so having sensors really helps me. So for example, in the winter with the heat on, the upstairs, because heat rises, tends to be about 5 degrees warmer. And so I have a sensor in my room. So it's programmed to at nighttime use a sensor in my room so that I'm not A, paying to heat the downstairs, which doesn't need to be heated, I'm not there, and B, sweating at night because it actually, even though it says it's at 70, it's 77 in my room. And then it in the morning switches because I go downstairs and I don't want to be freezing. So having that sort of level of control is so awesome.
It really is. Yeah. So got to get the Ecobee, got to get smart lights. Also, having a smart lock on your front door, I think
yes.
just everybody should have that too. Yale makes really nice Apple HomeKit compatible ones. You'll notice I'm mentioning as we're going through that it's Apple HomeKit compatible, and that is because it's a big deal. Like if you have an iPhone, it's going to make it so much easier if all of your products work with Apple's smart home system. That way you can control them like in concert together in Apple's home app instead of having to open up like 5 different apps to control your smart home.
So I've used Yale locks for years. Definitely recommend them. I mean, a smart lock is just so awesome for a few reasons. Number one, it automatically locks when you leave the house. You don't have to worry about it. Number two, it automatically unlocks when you get home. You don't have to worry about it. But I strongly recommend buying a lock because not all of them have it. They have a few extra features. So number one, having a keypad is really, really
gotta
important
because
not everybody has the iPhone. Not everybody wants to like download the app, set up a profile for your kids, for your nanny, for your cleaners, whatever. And what's great about it is you can set up unlimited access, right? So let's say you have a cleaner that comes once a week for an hour. You can set up so they can access it during their cleaning time, but not at 3 a.m. The other feature, so that's the main one. You also want one that is Wi-Fi compatible. Most are, but not all, so that you can lock and unlock it remotely. So when you're not home,
super nice.
If somebody's at your door, you can unlock it. There's a new feature that I don't have, but looks really cool, and I would buy it if I were to buy one today, which is a fingerprint sensor. So then you don't
Ooh.
Even need a code. You
I
just
want
use
that.
A fingerprint. It's so cool.
I think it is also nice to have a manual key option on it too.
Manual key.
I don't think mine has that.
Okay.
I have a keypad one, but not because like they die. Everyone, you know,
die.
They need to be charged, and that really stinks.
It's actually the downside of it. It's stressful because they die, and then you're locked out of your house. So I definitely do not buy one that does not have a physical key option. And like Donna's saying, a lot of them don't. They're like, oh, don't worry, you'll just remember to charge it. No, I won't.
But I love the feature too that it will unlock as soon as you walk in. So you're coming in with grocery bags. You don't have to unlock it yourself. And it'll lock when you leave because I've never been the most high security person. And so it's just helped me. It's helped me actually lock my door.
Yes.
So that's totally really agree. Nice.
Relatedly, I think everyone in the world needs a smart doorbell now.
Smart doorbell. That's actually something I still haven't installed. You've been telling me for years.
You need a smart doorbell. It's essential for security, first and foremost, right? Like, there's so much sketchy stuff that happens in this world. And you just want a security camera at your front door. Somebody tries to steal your Amazon package. Some random, you know, it just happened to me where I was traveling and some random neighbor came and turned out it was okay. They were... somebody in Amazon had left a package for them at our house and they took it. But it's the sort of thing where, like, we have kids at home and there's a random lady outside the house. And it was really reassuring to be able to talk to her and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. So for security, also for convenience, right? If, let's say, it happens to be like the handyman shows up and I'm not there yet, I can get on the phone, I can get on my app and say, hey, I'm on my way home. And then I can use my Yale lock to unlock it if I want to. So those two work really well together.
So what brand did you say?
Oh, I did not say. There's a few. I use Arlo, which tends to be cheap, works pretty well, HomeKit compatible. I wouldn't say I'm as loyal to Arlo as some other brands we've talked about. So shop around. Everybody has their own opinions. Remo does it. What are the other ones? Amazon has Ring doorbell. I actually...
Isn't it kind of fun? I feel like they all sound like the same thing. Yeah. Arlo, Remo.
I actually do like the Nest one, I will say, even though it's not HomeKit compatible. And I don't know that you need a HomeKit compatible one. So feel free to get the Nest. Something you're going to have to think about is, do you have a wired doorbell currently? Do you want to wire it, which you can buy the wire, or do you want a battery powered? I have the battery powered ones because I don't have a wired doorbell.
Easy installation too, right?
Oh, also you want to get, most of them come with, you can buy an extra accessory, which is the, I don't know what they call it, the chime, so that you can still hear it in your house and it's not just relying on your phone. So that, like, if your kids are at home,
I like that.
They hear the doorbell.
Yeah. Also, it feels nostalgic.
Yeah.
Okay, other products. I wanted to mention a couple new ones.
Yes.
I've been getting in deep diving on air purifiers this year after finding that I had some sensitivities. Whether it's pet dander, mold, whatever, air quality is really important, I've learned. Mm-hmm. So there are a few brands I've tried out. I tried out the Rabbit Air is a brand that's great. Blue Air, you've probably heard of that one. And Allen Air is another one. And I would say Rabbit Air is my top pick, and that's mainly for this audience, that the iPhone app worked the best. It was really nice to control it from there. You can make it so there's no lights showing up on the actual air purifier, so it can be in your bedroom and not be like blaring lights in your room while you're trying to sleep. Because I'm also sensitive to that.
I know, me too.
It's also quiet. Some air purifiers are pretty noisy. Mm-hmm. This is a quiet one. And it has like 7 filters on it. And you can customize it. And I got the one that is great for removing mold from your air. There are other ones that are specifically for pet dander. So you can like change out those filters. It'll tell you with the app when it's time to change out the filter. Which is nice because I have some air purifiers that have been around in my house forever and I don't know like what the status of the filter is, if it's even like doing any good anymore. So this is nice just to know. The one thing I will say is that both Blue Air and Rabbit Air tell you the quality of the air in your house through the app, and through researching this more, that piece of it you can't really trust that much.
You gotta get a professional quality.
If you're worried about your air quality in your house and you want to know, get professionals in there. This is always going to, like, having one of these nice air purifiers, it's definitely going to help, but it doesn't take the place of a real true test.
In my experience, they always tell me that the quality is good. And
yeah,
sometimes
both of mine
it's
said
clearly
excellent,
not. Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was definitely true for me.
Yeah. Last but not least, I wanted to mention this cool company, the My Skylight Family Organizer. It's been kind of getting a lot of hype. It's definitely good for families with kids trying to run a household, but in general, it's a great way just to organize your household. They have these really attractive kind of Apple-like displays. You can either get the desktop one or like a big monitor that you're putting up on your wall, and it shows you your family schedule. It has like accomplishments and like kind of badges that can help, it's touchscreen that can help motivate kids. But it also helps different parents coordinate with each other. So let's say your kid is taking a medication. This is one thing that we use it for. You can mark off if the medication's been taken so you don't by accident give them the
really
dose,
cool.
Like things like that. So it has a really nice app, that is a subscription, a monthly subscription. So there's some cost associated with it. But I think it's really well done. You can start at $169 for the smallest. It kind of reminds me of like a Alexa show. Is that, I always forget what the different names of the products are, but it's one, like that little like touchscreen that I hope Apple will make their own.
There's all these rumors that Apple will, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, why didn't Apple make this?
But it's cool. So I'm sure they'll do something for Black Friday. Do you have any other smart home products you want to call out?
I have a few that are smartphone adjacent. navigate. Okay. These were ones that were, I didn't know where to put them in the list, so I just put them here. One is Halo Dog Collar.
That one, I feel like you made me want one.
It's a real game changer for depending on your dogs. If you have a dog that likes to be outside, but you do not have a fenced in yard, it's really awesome. What it is it's like a smart e-collar. So it's a little collar you put on them and you can use their app to set up the perimeter and train your dog to respect that. And it's worked really well for us. And they just came out with a new model, the Halo 5, I believe, which part of what you need to make it reliable is you need really good, cellular connection so that it always knows where it is. It really needs good satellite connection, those sort of things. And they've just improved that a lot over the years. This one is the latest and greatest. It has a walk mode now, which is cool. So when you're taking, because if you're taking them on a walk, you can leave it on and it'll give you your metrics
Nice. And also won't like electrocute them.
Yeah, and will not electrocute them on the walk. It doesn't electrocute your dog, just to be clear. I can't remember. It's a stim.
Yeah.
Which, again, once your dog learns to respect it, they never get any.
Also, it does sound like, I think that there's a lot of kind of misinformation out there. Like, if anything, it's not so severe that, like, if anything, you should be more worried about your dog learning to ignore it rather than it being really so terrible for them.
Yeah, it has GPS if they do learn to ignore it. I have a Husky and I have a German Shepherd. My German Shepherd, we use it on my Husky, their escape artist, and she decided she'd rather just be electrocuted and run around all day, and so it was a thing.
Yeah, so you gotta kind of take into consideration the dog you have. Don't they have like a like return policy where you could get it, try it out?
I believe they do. Yes, and I think it was an exception to the rule. Some of it is take into account. It does require some training. You have to train your dogs,
right?
So that's part of it as well. Another one which probably should have been in iPhone Essentials, but I don't know. AirTags just make a great holiday gift.
Yeah, it's really a good, like, good stocking stuffer.
Similarly, everybody in the world who owns an iPhone should have them on their keys. You don't need to lose your keys anymore. Also great for luggage. So definitely recommend that.
Awesome. Last product I'll mention, this is also, it's more just like a cool smart home product than really to use with your iPhone. But Simple Human is a brand I've liked for a long time. They have voice-controlled trash cans, which I really like, and they're super classy. And they now just came out with a new line. They have a phone cleaner and a like motion sensor liquid brass pump thing.
I really
You're a big Simple Human fan too, right?
I don't have that many, but I do really like the brand. They tend to be really well designed, look sleek, just thoughtfully designed too. Like things like
they're expensive, but they're nice. Yeah,
they're expensive. But like they have trash cans where they have, you can buy the trash bags that go with them that are the perfectly right size. Just little details that just make it all work.
Yeah.
One other one that doesn't fit so cleanly into this group, but I don't know where else to put it, that also isn't iPhone related, but I'm obsessed with my LG OLED TV, and they always have Black Friday deals. So if you're looking for a nice TV, OLED, this is my other soapbox. I think I will avoid the full lecture, but OLED, in my experience, is just a much, much nicer display. We talk about it sometimes with your iPhone because iPhones have OLED displays. But for a TV, it makes a huge difference in your watching experience. And LG makes sort of the best, cheapest. So you can get really cheap TVs these days. You can get like 65-inch for like $300. These aren't that, but it's like you can get them often under $1,000 for a 55-inch OLED display, 4K. Really strongly recommend them if you're in the market for a TV.
OLED really does make a huge difference, whether it's your TV or your phone. Okay, home office. We only have a few more minutes. We're going to talk about some home office gear, health and fitness, speakers and headphones, potentially some iPad gear too.
Yes.
But really, home office, I think I'll just focus on my really top pick here, and that's the Uplift version 3, V3 standing desk. Uplift has a really great website where you can design your desk. Like, it has an online designer for your space. So I have an L-shaped desk that fits perfectly in my home office right by the window. I chose a bamboo top that goes really nicely with the bamboo floor. It has an adjustable little keypad on the side that can adjust your desk up and down. They've improved some things. And it usually, like, the main kind of negative review on Uplift in the past has been that they're hard to assemble. It's kind of a project, but they now have sort of like an online, it guides you through the setup process and makes it easier. They've also improved their cable management. They had some cable managers under the desk that would tend to like start sagging and falling down. They fixed that now. Mm-hmm. They have some Black Friday deals going on. You can get like an extra percentage off if you use their EFCM 2025 promo code. It'll be in the show notes on the podcast. But I've been extremely happy with my Uplift desk, and I've now gotten a walking pad to put under it. So I can not only be standing while I work, but also getting some steps in, which I think is great. Go Plus is just a kind of cheap Amazon brand for walking pads, but I'd recommend that. It's always nice to have a smart printer too. I've got the Canon Megatank Pixma. And they have a Black Friday deal going on too. The setup was super easy. I didn't really have to do any pairing, which I feel like still my legacy of printers in the past is that it's always really hard to get it to like work with your devices. The AirPrint changes that, where you just hit the print icon on your Mac or your iPhone and it'll find that device and you can print from it so easily.
Actually just got a printer too. Really? It's like my first printer as an adult. Like, I've never owned a printer in my life, and I finally caved and got one.
Same. This has all been in the past year for me too.
It was like once every 2 months I need to print something. I was like, fine, I'll do it. But I've been very happy. Similarly, HP Envy, it's a very budget printer. I don't print very often, but has AirPrint. So it was really easy to set up, and it's really easy to use. And it was, I don't know, like $150. And they definitely will have Black Friday sales.
Kind of same thing with how you want HomeKit for smart home. You want AirPrint.
Yes.
If you have a printer.
It's very important to get AirPrint for your printer so it just works and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, in our last few minutes, what you want to rapid fire your products you want to talk about?
Yeah, I know. We have so much here. I just was on a trip and I was really appreciating how thoughtfully designed the Zugu iPad case is. Mm-hmm. They're a former advertiser. They're not anymore. But really well-designed case. It's sort of in my opinion, like the perfect folio for your iPad. Nice kind of leather, holds at the right angle. You can also fold it up and have a strap for your hands. Has a good spot for your Apple Pencil if you want that. So definitely recommend the Zugu folio cases for your iPad. And then let's see, UE Boom 4, if you have somebody who, especially for kids or teenagers who want a Bluetooth speaker, very affordable, great sound quality, very portable. Those are it.
I'll back you up on that. Ultimate Ears is like what UE stands for. And their Wonder Boom is actually a small speaker. I've had it for like a decade and I love it. I just actually got the updated version, which is similar but a little better.
I've had mine for like a decade too, still use it all the time and love it.
Yeah, they have some really massive ones too. One of my friends has the kind of like biggest party one, and it's pretty amazing sound for a Bluetooth speaker with a lot of bass.
Also, just a reminder in terms of Apple products, other Apple products that are frequently on sale for Black Friday, AirPods, you can get very good deals on AirPods.
The AirPods Pro 3 are awesome. I really like
them. Really?
Yeah, I've had mine now for a couple months and I'm a big fan. I feel like that makes a really good gift if you're shopping for people.
I'm buying one for my partner, actually, that exact thing.
Yeah.
And also Apple Watches are often on sale. So that's another good option for people. I think that is my rapid fire, all the products I got. How about you?
The HomePod Mini, I also wanted to add in terms of speakers and headphones. It's not going to win any awards in terms of sound quality. It's fine, but I wasn't sure whether to put this in smart home or here. But even though Siri needs work, which is its own thing, it's really nice having a HomePod for voice commands around the house. I have one in almost every room, and they're great. And the sound quality for occasionally playing music is fine.
Absolutely. Okay. Last question for you and for our audience. What of everything, is there anything you're actually buying on Black Friday?
Oh man. Well, all of these ones I mentioned are ones I already have.
I know.
But talking to you, I feel like there are a couple of things you gave me. I kind of want to get some cables.
Yeah.
That seems like a good idea. I'm always running out of them, even though I have it. I'm curious. I didn't mention this one, but I'm going to have it in the show notes. I'm curious if Aura Ring is going to have a good deal because I want to get one for my mom. Mm. And they're expensive. They're like $500 for the finish that I like.
They do. It's $150 off now.
So that is awesome because even though sleep tracking I have mixed feelings about, it's like I think everyone should have an Aura Ring. They're really good.
So this is to a really niche audience, but
Yeah, what's yours?
Chase Platinum. No, this is about the Aura Ring. Chase Platinum gives you $150 credit when you buy an Aura Ring. Plus, it's like $150 off. So you end up being able to get an Aura Ring for like $50 if you happen to have a Chase Platinum.
That's so cool.
Pro tip.
All right, what's your product? What are you going to be buying this Black Friday?
So definitely buying AirPods. Another thing for a niche audience, schools have outlawed, at least in Iowa and a lot of states, have outlawed having phones in schools. So kids have realized that a good hack is to have Apple Watches. Oh. So it's number one on my kids' wish list is an Apple Watch, which mixed feelings about. But, you know, I'm more in favor of teaching them to use technology responsibly than banning it.
So we are iPhone life.
So Apple Watches will be on mine as well. I already mentioned the AirPods. Definitely going to get cables. One thing for the cables to mention, too, I recommend getting a little bit longer, 6 feet instead of 3 feet. It's just so much nicer. 10 feet, I've learned, is too long.
There is such thing as too long.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking around for our 2025 More Informal Buyer's Guide. This has been a lot of fun. Let us know what you're buying over the holidays, Black Friday, Cyber Week, podcast@iPhoneLife.com. And please make sure to also share this podcast with your friends.
Yes.
Leave us a review. That's how we spread the word and get more people to tune in. So thank you all so much.
Thank you.